This is the Mario Solis Marriage Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
5 minutes after 4 o'clock, you're listening to the one and only Mario Solis Marriage Show. It is Thursday, the day before Friday. Oh, man. And once again, I get to say it's a historic day that we are broadcasting to you live on a very, very historic day in 2008 on the Mario Solis Marit Show. Barack Obama today went to Berlin and gave just an amazing speech. And we have a couple clips for you, and we're starting to get some reaction from it as well, from different sources that we'll share with you today. So we'll definitely get into that conversation. Want to know if you heard it or what you're hearing about it, how you feel about it. We'll talk to you about that. We also, in our very bipartisan way, want to make sure that you know what John McCain did today. Barack Obama was in Germany talking to he was in Berlin, but he was really talking to the people of the world. He approached it as a platform to speak to the world. And I want to talk about that, too, in a second. But while he did that, John McCain was not going to be one-upped by that. So he held a meeting at a German restaurant in German Village, Ohio. So, did you hear about this?
I did not.
You didn't know that?
I did not hear about this.
Yeah. So, he didn't want to be one up by all the German stuff.
Did he do the chicken dance?
I don't know if he did the chicken dance. That's a good question. I wasn't there. But I'm reading a report about that. He is doing his own style of German outreach. He had a lunch meeting with small business leaders at a German restaurant in German Village, Ohio. The name of the restaurant is Schmidt's Restaurant, and it's a sausage house. You know, they don't say house, they say house. It's spelled H-A-U-S, sausage house. Did you go to any of those when you were in Germany?
Yeah, first day.
Hey, did you go to the Brandenburg Gate when you were in Germany? Did you go there? Or there wasn't a bar tavern by there, so you didn't make it, or what?
No, we did not make it.
You didn't make it to that one.
No.
No bars nearby. That was my first question when Mondo got back from Germany. So tell me about the museums. And then you get this blank look on his face.
They have museums?
They have museums? Let's see here.
I went to a torture museum.
Yeah, I bet you did. So he went to Sausage House. It's called Schmidt's. And just to let you know, we're not sure exactly what he ordered, but the menu includes sauerkraut bratwurst balls, Hofbräu Schnitzel, or bratwurst. And by the way, just to let you know, their bratwurst was voted the best worst by Columbus Monthly.
Mmm, delicious.
So, John McCain stepping up to the plate there. The big German day.
That sounds good.
In American politics. So, but no major speech came out of that. Or if not, in fairness, we would cover it. What part sounds good? The best worst?
Yeah.
You like bratwurst?
Yeah, it's good. They had good food over there. The beer was good, too.
Right, I know. You brought me back some.
It's good.
I don't know about the sauerkraut bratwurst balls, though.
Yeah, that didn't sound...
Doesn't sound tasty. Very good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll give credit where credit is due. John McCain making his big international effort there in German Village, Ohio. On the other hand, when we get, fair is fair, Barack Obama gave an amazing speech, not at a German restaurant, but... In fact, in the middle of a popular Berlin square where 200,000 people, it's estimated, gathered to hear his speech, we have a couple of clips of that, and let's play one of those now.
The size of our forces was no match for the larger Soviet army, and yet retreat would have allowed communism to march across Europe. Where the last war had ended, another world war could have easily begun, and all that stood in the way was Berlin. And that's when the airlift began, when the largest and most unlikely rescue in the history brought food and hope to the people of this city. The odds were stacked against success. In the winter, a heavy fog filled the sky above, and many planes were forced to turn back without dropping off the needed supplies. The streets where we stand were filled with hungry families who had no comfort from the cold. But in the darkest hours, the people of Berlin kept the flame of hope burning. The people of Berlin refused to give up.
And that of course, met with rousing applause from the people of Berlin. And let me play one more clip, and then I'll give you my comments on it. This is another part of Barack Obama's historic speech today.
And on one fall day, hundreds of thousands of Berliners came here to the Tiergarten and heard the city's mayor implore the world not to give up on freedom. There is only one possibility, he said, for us to stand together, united, until this battle is won. The people of Berlin have spoken. We have done our duty, he said, and we will keep on doing our duty. People of the world, now do your duty. People of the world, look at Berlin.
That is absolutely an amazing speech. Let me just talk about the symbolism here. I actually think it not only was this was not just a speech to Germans. It's just not just a speech to people in Berlin. By the way, Berlin has a population of about 3 million folks. He had 200,000 of them, you know, in that square today, which is just incredible. But this was really a speech to the entire world. And how appropriate for somebody to make a speech about their worldview on world policy from someplace outside the United States. Because the symbolism of actually addressing the world from someplace other than Washington, D.C., or someplace other than New York City is incredibly important. Because the thing that irritated people about us before George Bush and before 9/11 is how myopic we could be. They still liked us, it just irritated them. But that myopia became dangerous under George Bush. And the danger in it has become apparent to the world since 9/11. And that is so when you want to start bringing the world together and you want to send a signal that you're going to work to pull the country out of its myopic vision, then you don't do it from anywhere on U.S. soil. You do it from someplace else. And you have the entire world to do it from, barring a few countries barring Iraq, which is supposed to be safe right now, and barring Afghanistan. I mean, you have many places in the world where it's completely safe to do that. But how symbolic to be in a place that was really the epicenter of the last major global conflict, and to send a signal about the one that we're in right now, saying that we could do this, but we as Americans can't do it alone. We need to do it the way we did it before, and that's with the world community. We'll talk more about the speech when we get back, and we'll take your calls at 888-516-274. Oh, why don't you dump it? Too late to dump it. 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600. 7600 is the number. My name is Mario Solis Maric. It's 16 minutes after 4 o'clock. Let's get a quick traffic update from Scott Boylan. 19 minutes after 4 o'clock right here on the one and only Mario Solis Maric Show, www.am760.net. Or you could call and be part of this program live at 303-713-7600. By the way, I also didn't want to give you the wrong impression about Schmidt's restaurant where John McCain, you know, had his meeting today, his German meeting. They also have entertainment there. Currently, according to their website, the featured act is the Schnickelfritz, which is a dynamic duo that has been considered the house band at Schmidt's since 1979.
We're going to cover them tomorrow for the lowdown.
Are they going to be on the lowdown tomorrow?
Yep.
Schnickelfritz. So there you go. 303-713-7600 is the number. Line 2, Shane from Fort Collins. You're on AM 760.
First-time caller. Love your show.
Thank you, Shane. What's that?
Oh, not a lot. I just wanted to say that Obama's really not running for emperor of the world.
Right.
So his little Germany excursion and a lot of what he's saying, it appeals to European socialists and those that have pretty much been convinced that America's evil.
Wait, hold on a second. You say that it appeals to European socialists. Now, did you see a poll, are you just like repeating something you heard on a right wing talk show?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I've seen polls that confirm Obama at
European socialists how they feel about Barack Obama's speech. They're already out. Those polls?
No, Europeans are traditionally socialists.
Okay, so it appeals to Europeans in general.
Correct.
Okay. But you just added the socialist in to do what? Disparage them because of their way of life?
Well, no, certainly not. It wasn't meant as a disparagement, but that's the way they run their countries.
Right.
Socialized medicine.
Right. Oh, that's
30% unemployment.
Oh God, all that education and medicine, just bad.
I would love the education and love the medicine, but if it wasn't for the American taxpayers paying for the pharmaceutical companies
Let me ask you a question.
Certainly.
Do you think that George Bush's behavior in the world, would you consider that emperor-like?
Absolutely not.
Really? But a speech is, but going out and like invading another country because of a gut feeling he had, isn't?
13 years of patience and sanctions. Bill Clinton wanted to authorize force.
All right, Shane. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Just want to know where you're coming from. How can a speech be emperor-like, but like coming up with a plan with people who wrote a paper that you could get publicly that's called The New American Century that talks about taking an aggressive role in the world and leading and conquering? How can that and taking those people, putting them into your administration, taking that plan and using it as a blueprint for your foreign policy, how can that not be emperor-like, but a single speech is? I'm confused. 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600 is the number. Line 3, Michelle from Denver.
Good morning.
Afternoon, but that's okay.
I know. It's been a long day. I'm German and black, and no, those people don't feel that way, nor are they socialists. I just came back from Germany in March.
Right.
What Obama is trying to do is unite us all. There's a disconnect with all of us, and it's time that we work together to solve the issues that are facing each and every one of us. They have the same issues over there as we have here. Why can't we all work together and find solutions? Why?
Well, because they're European socialists?
They are not European socialists.
I'm kidding.
My mother is from East Germany. She went over the wall when she was 16. to leave oppression. Those people fought for their right to be a free country, just as we are now fighting to change the way that we are viewed around the world. And Barack Obama is asking each and every one of us to pitch in and think about more than ourselves, to think about us as a global, you know, world.
Right. As a people. Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate your call. And she called 303-713-7600. Line one, Anna from Greeley. You're on AM 760.
Hi, Mario. How are you?
Good, Anna.
I tell you, people in the Soviet Union fought for their freedom, too.
Right.
I think 20 million Russians were murdered by these people that Obama's talking to, or their original people.
their grandparents, right?
Yeah, right. And before that, there was another world war. And I think it's to restore the Holy Roman Empire myself, but, you know, that's just me. He shouldn't be over there doing that. And talking about, you know, killing the godless communists for the sake of the godly. I don't know why he is. Why isn't he over here in the Senate actually trying to pass laws that will help us get back to our Constitution? And after that, then once we're back to our Constitution and once we're restored as a nation, which we're not now, they're really destroying the nation.
But Anna, isn't it possible though that a president could do more than one thing? In other words, let me ask you a question. What do you think, in your opinion, what is your opinion of what the world view is of us right now?
Of us? Oh, you mean what the world looks at us like?
Now, let's leave the whole world out of it. Let's say Europe, for instance.
Okay. I'm sure they look at us as being very warlike and very apt to lose our country, which is what's happening.
Right. And so don't you think that at a certain point it's important, if somebody wants to, you know, run this country, that they're also cognizant of and show that they understand that those concerns are out there?
You remember that it's supposed to be a three-part government. And we don't have a Supreme Court. We have an inferior court. And we have no Congress. And we have the Dingleberry dictator.
Right. I hear all of that. What I'm saying is that, I mean, wouldn't it be, let me do it the opposite way. I mean, John McCain doesn't seem to even acknowledge the fact that we were a country that used to lead the world. And now we're a country that the world sees with a lot of distrust. I mean, that is a major issue for this country right now.
Well, we should not be even pretending to lead the world in the way this country has been so violent and so apt to attack. I mean, the last...
Thank you for your call on it, and I appreciate it. I think the difficulty is that I, too, would not want us to be an empire, but I also acknowledge that we are. And do I like it? No. Are we there? Yes. And I think that most Americans don't even understand that we are. And I think that leads us into a lot of problems. The fact that this country is in denial about our own history and the role that we play in the world makes, you know, that denial or the lack of information that we give to, you know, to the average American about that fact allows politicians in Washington, D.C. and different administrations to manipulate us, because we really don't. We're like a clumsy blind giant in the world. They're just walking, you know, at least our populace is. We're walking around rarely understanding the damage that we're doing or the impact that we're having. And I'm not saying, and we've had a lot of positive impact as well. So, but I think that to say, hey, you know, we shouldn't be an empire. Well, that decision was made a long time ago. And if we want to change that presence or change that role, that will also take decades. It's not something we could just deny away. It's something that is. And I think that hopefully the next president, and who I'm hoping will be Barack Obama, will understand that. I clearly see that Barack Obama does. I guess what I'm hoping is that he becomes president, because I don't think John McCain has a clue about this. 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. Let me take a quick break here. I know a lot of people want to jump in on this conversation, so just hang with me. Don't hang up. We'll get to your calls in just a second. We have a couple of other lines open as well. My name is Mario Solis Maric. You're listening to the one and only Mario Solis Maric Show. It's 429 on AM 760. Let's find 433 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600 is the number. We're talking about Barack Obama's speech today in Berlin. John McCain has issued a statement. He says, while Obama spoke to 100,000 people, it was actually 200,000 people, but I guess the McCain people got tired of counting. While Obama spoke to 100,000 people in Berlin and proclaimed himself a citizen of the world, John McCain continued to make his case to the American citizens who will decide this election, said Tucker Bounds. Wow. He popped up. Tucker Bounds, a spokesman for the Arizona Senators campaign. It said John McCain continued to make his case to the American citizens who will decide this election. The patron of Schmidt's restaurant. Is right where he went. Yeah, the statement continued. Barack Obama offered eloquent praise for this country, but the contrast is clear. John McCain has dedicated his life to serving, improving, and protecting America. Barack Obama spent an afternoon talking about it, end quote. They asked him if it was wrong to... at one point, they asked John McCain what he thought about the speech, and McCain said, check this out, I would rather speak at a rally or a political gathering any place outside the country after I'm president of the United States, but that's a judgment that Senator Obama and the American people will make. So.
What? I don't get that. Is it a slam?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a slam. I would rather speak at a rally or a political gathering any place outside of the country after I'm president of the United States. In other words, I'm not president yet, so I'm not going to go out there talking to other countries.
So Obama thinks he's president, so...
Right. I guess that's...
How is that a... He's making me think Obama's president.
Yeah.
He said that Obama's trip was a premature victory lap.
A premature victory lap. Huh. Yeah, it's interesting for a guy to say this because just last month, right, he gave that speech in Canada about NAFTA. So somebody should tell John McCain that Canada is another country outside of the United States. I know he has geography problems, so someone should let him know that. Someone should tell him that Canada is another country. Call Tucker Bounds, spokesperson. Yeah, let him know. Canada, other country. Get him one of those maps that has the little line so he could see that between the two. 303-713-7600 is the number. Let's go back to the phones. Line 4, Louise from Denver, you're on AM 760.
Hi, Mario.
Hey, Louise.
I have to make a personal observation. And
yes.
Number one, I would say the green-eyed monster has a hold of John McCain.
Oh, I agree.
But I would like to say, can you imagine how George Bush feels? I mean, every time he goes to Europe, he has to slink in and out of these countries.
Oh, that's right.
Because everybody's in the street screaming and hollering. They just can't even stand his presence in their country. And here is Obama attracting 200,000 people screaming, cheering, and adoring him. I mean, George Bush has got to be thinking, what is going on?
Yep. If he thinks, I don't think he even thinks at all, though. I also get a sense that they probably unplugged all the TVs at the White House. When stuff like this happens, they just don't let them know. They just start unplugging the TVs.
Exactly. But it'll
they don't want them taking the drinky-drinky, if you know what I mean.
It'll be interesting to see how this is covered tonight on the Talking Head shows.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it either. Thank you for your call, Louise. I appreciate it. And she called 303-713-7600. Man, I'm having problems today. But you know what I mean. Glug, 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 glug for George Bush.
Yeah, somebody sounds like somebody else been doing the glug, glug, glug.
No. No. It's just that I'm like halfway into vacation mode already.
But no, I know. I don't know if you noticed, but about a week before my wedding, I was kind of a space cadet.
We did kind of notice, too.
I'm back now.
We actually did notice.
Yeah.
But we talked about you when you were off the air, though.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Glad you didn't forget about me.
We got it out of our system. 303-713-7600. Line 3, Doug from Denver. You're on AM 760.
Oh, hey, Mario.
Yeah, Doug.
First-time caller. I lived in Germany for a while and speak German, so I went on the German websites, and I also streamed their coverage of the speech. And there's real Obama mania over there. And I have 2 points and then a funny thing I found. The one point is they want to like us. They're mad at us, but there's this yearning to like us again. You know, it's like a spat between friends. And I picked that up from the German sites. The other thing is, they have an envy for Obama in that they see our politics so charged and interesting and cutting edge, and they're feeling that they have a bunch of kind of stuffed shirts as politicians these days.
Right.
Anyway, I went on the Stern magazine site, and they had the funniest stuff. One, regarding the envy thing, they took their top politicians and gave them all a tan to make them look a little bit like Obama. And the line, it was on one of the tabloidy magazines, "We need an Obama here." And so they have Merkel and their politicians looking as if they're half African American. It's funny pictures. The other one was
we got to move on, Doug. On that note, thank you for your call. I don't know. I have to check that. Why don't you check that out, Oscar the Grouch? See what that looks like. 303-713-7600. Line 1, Stacy. You're on AM 760.
Hey Mario, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, Stacy.
Doug's a crack up.
Yes.
That's real good. And they're just jealous. I think the whole McCain campaign is jealous of the fact that we have somebody who's making progress and going overseas and taking the time to talk to these people. Diplomacy. They don't have it.
No, I absolutely agree. Thank you, Stacy, for your call. I appreciate it. Yeah, can you imagine? They just don't know what to do. They even unleashed Tucker Bounds today to try to clean it up. But the whole I would never go out of the country till after I'm president kind of falls apart when you look at that Canadian trip. I just found it on the end. It's June 20th. John McCain gives a speech in Canada. They probably told him they were flying him over to some French restaurant in Illinois next to Schmitz, the German sauerkraut ball restaurant.
Some small French place called La Cagnata.
Right. Oh, man. 303-713-7600 is the number if you want to be part of this program. We'll take more of your calls when we get back. We'll also give you some, believe it or not, other news happened today. So we'll talk about that as well. Y mucho más right here on the one and only Mario Solis Maricho. Let's take a... After 4 o'clock, 444, right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. A little bit later in the program, we're going to play for you an interview that we had earlier today with Chris Gunn, who is the communications director at the American Small Business League. They've been fighting the Bush administration to have some accountability in their small business program. And once again, the Bush administration is... not only not being cooperative, but being actually counterproductive, surprise, surprise, to the middle class. So we'll talk to Chris Gunn about that in just a little bit. Right now we're talking about the big speech today that Barack Obama gave, a much anticipated speech that he gave in Berlin. I have to tell you, and we'll take your calls in just a second. Let me just say something. I was in meetings all morning today, which is a little why I'm a bit scattered. And so I didn't have time to watch the speech, but as soon as it was released, a source sent me the transcript. So I actually read the speech before it was given. And I read the speech, and I read it twice. I was moved by reading the speech. I have to tell you, this to me, and I know this is going to sound weird, especially coming from me, but this is how I really feel about it. This to me is an important speech. I got a lot of heck on this program a few months ago when Barack gave a speech on race. I just didn't think, I thought it was a well-written speech. I said it at the time. I thought it was delivered well. But I said that I would wait to see if it was an important speech, that I would measure its importance by its impact. Because if you remember at that time, all the media was going crazy, like, oh my God, this is the best speech ever, right? And quite frankly, since then, I mean, so I wasn't like moved by it. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was something that needed to be analyzed. I thought it was a strong move that he made it, considering the circumstances that he was in at the time. But I really withheld judgment on it. And quite frankly, I still do. I feel very differently about this speech. I feel very differently about this speech because this speech took a level of chutzpah, number one. I'm not saying that the other one didn't, but this one really, really, really did. And it basically sent a signal that many people in this country have wanted to send for a while. And that is, and I think he, you know, I support Barack for president, but whether he becomes president or not, I think it's important that people around the world understand that there are many, 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 many Americans, and who almost the majority, and may be the majority, we will find out soon, that really understand that we have taken a dive in the way the world looks at us, and that really want the world to know that, hey, you know, we want to take care of business at home first, but basically we do see ourselves as part of a global community. And I thought that that this speech did that, and it also laid out some groundwork as far as sending a signal to the Middle East that clearly said, look at, we, you know, just because we have, it's kind of a weird thing to say, but it's an important thing to say, and he said it in the speech. I'm not going to say it as articulately as he did, but the basic message is, look at, we could be at war with you, and then we could be friends. And that's the only way it works. In the world, you can't move away. On the global stage, you can't move away. You have to stick it out. We have, you know, the countries on the planet, we have to stick it out together. No one's leaving. And so there is this issue, especially that we have with the Middle East, and we've over the past weeks in this program, we've gone through many, many times why those circumstances exist for us there, and they're complex, varied, and many. But the bottom line is that he sets a tone that we don't have to be on a war footing, and that in fact, a huge number of Americans don't want to be on a war footing, and that we clearly see that. Even though we may have found conflict in the past, that it's possible to find reconciliation in the future. 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. Line 4, Ken from Denver. You're on AM 760.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good.
We had to ever send a goodwill ambassador overseas to let us know that we still have our core values as Americans. That was the rousing speech that he gave today.
Yeah, I absolutely
agree. I do. I have to say that he did an exemplary job. I did see the speech in its entirety, and I believe that he has done the greatest thing for this country. And like you said before, you made a comment right here, you know, George Bush, the only thing he expect he got was riots, and
right.
he got protests.
Right.
200,000 Germans. I lived there for 3 years. Those, the Deutsche people are some of the most enjoyable, gracious, great people. I'm an African-American, and I lived over there when I was inside the Army. And I remember Fasching, and I remember Oktoberfest, and, you know, I go to those events, and they say, oh, you're American. I would never have to spend a dime of my own money. They buy me beer, schnitzel, everything.
Wow.
And my favorite meal was Jägerschnitzel, which is a veal chop with mushroom gravy on top and french fries. But I have to say that he did a good. Now we got to wait to find out what he's going to do when he gets to France. Oh,
right.
My.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There's a question for you, too. Thank you, Ken, and thank you for your service, and thanks for calling. And he called 303-713-7600. What did you eat when you were over there, Mondo? Of course, you weren't there for 3 years.
No.
You were there for, 10 days or something. But what did you eat?
A lot of meat, ham, pig's knuckle, sauerkraut.
Pig's knuckle?
Yeah. It's like chicharron, but, just baked. Oh, my gosh. That was so good. And they're so nice. Everybody was so nice, too. We had some police officers that were traveling in my group.
Uh-huh.
And they met fellow German cops, and they were just buying them drinks, and it was nice.
Well, very, very cool. All righty. 303-713-7600. It's 4:52 on AM 760. Pig knuckle.
Hey, don't call me names.
Colorado's progressive talk.
You are what you eat.
.455 right here on AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. 303-713-7600. Check this out. A new poll out by U.S. News and World Report asks people, you just rented a vacation home on Martha's Vineyard where the political and media elite go. Who is the last person you would want as a summer neighbor? We'll ask that question to you when we get back at the top of the hour. Hold your horse. Mondo ready already, no.
Ready.
No, you got to hold your horses. There. You pig knuckle eater.
Good stuff.
Well, I like chicharrones, so I could imagine I would. But I like the meaty, porky ones.
Those guys.
Let's go back to the phones. We are talking about Barack Obama's. I was going to say Madonna's. Barack Obama's historic speech. It was had a star-like quality. Let's go to the phones. Line 4. Nate from Lakewood, you are on AM 760.
Hey, thanks for your show.
Thank you, Nate.
I just have a couple of quick little things. One is Mr. McCain must be really sad that he's got all this money to travel all over the world, and yet he can't leave our country because he's going to look like a putz.
Right.
And can you imagine if he shows up to talk in Germany and the only 412 people there are Americans who fit onto his airplane?
That's very good. You know, that's a very good point, too.
So he is not going to be able to leave the country and try to look presidential because
it won't compare. You're absolutely right.
So the poor man must be terribly upset.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Line 3, Amy, on your cell. You're on AM 760.
Hi, Mario.
Hey, Amy.
I've been listening for the last half hour or so and regarding McCain's responses to how wonderfully Obama's doing.
Yeah.
Wasn't it just about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, that he was giving Obama grief for not going to Iraq and visiting other parts of the world? And right after that, didn't McCain himself go to the Middle East, go to Jerusalem? He went to several places. He went to England.
Did he have something? He had something with the Queen, right?
Yes. So
Google that. Oscar the Great. I remembered I forgot about that because I remembered the Canada trip for some reason.
So once again, he's spouting off about something that he's hoping nobody remembers.
Right, just because he doesn't. Thank you for your call, Amy. Very good point. Do I have time for one more, judges?
Quick one.
All right. Line 1, Buster from Fort Collins. You are on AM 760.
Well, how are you doing, Señor Mario?
How are you?
Dude, I really love your show. I've been listening to you since you jumped on the bandwagon. I love your work, man. You really know how to keep it up. And Mondo and the rest of the crazies, man, I don't know what to think, you know, of you guys being penned up in that little studio up there.
Wait.
I'll tell you all about it someday.
Come to the one of the drinking liberalies one day, and I'll tell you all
about
it.
I was about to say, we should meet a drinking liberally. Last time I was a little too liberally drunk, so.
No, real quick, we're almost out of time here.
But no, let me throw this word out here. Yeah. If you could please define for me a what if on martial law. But, you know, people have been throwing martial law like tic-tacs over the last couple of days. I want you to give a what if of martial law so everybody out there could stop, you know, living on the, you know, on the fear circuit a little bit.
I got to get splitting, brother. You know, that's good. Maybe at the end of the next half hour or something. Thank you, Buster. I appreciate it. He called 303-713-7600 is the number. My name is Mario. You're listening to the one and only Mario Solis Marich Show right here on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. It's 5.